are back!
That's so
with
good.
With another episode of What Are We Even Doing? The critically reviewed podcast. I am your host, Connor Hopkins. I've been here the whole time.
That's correct. And I'm Tom. And around the bend from me, as they say.
A is comma... Because my last name is Ben. Yes. Ben, comma, Braden.
Yes.
Otherwise known as Deschain, comma, Damien.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, quite. Yes.
My last name is a word.
Yeah, it is, dude.
It really is.
I know exactly
it's
what you mean.
It's both a verb and a noun.
Yeah. But just... They're all words. But I know what you're saying.
And a proper noun.
No, there are differences. There's a difference between a word and a name. Names are not words.
Okay,
I'm kidding.
I mean, technically...
Wait, hold on.
You
really might be onto something, because a word can be a word and a name, but a name is typically just the name.
Smith.
Right. Blacksmith, though.
That's where it comes from. Did you know that?
I did not, and I learned something.
Because, like, people's last names used to be... what they did, because they didn't have they were just like, yeah, I'm John. Oh, I also know a John. What the hell?
John Blacksmith.
I'm the
Blacksmith.
Gotcha.
And then that became that.
And then you're no longer John the Baker anymore. You're John T. Baker, and then you're just John Baker.
Wow. We have progressed so far, and yet have done only the most stupid things with our progress.
Yeah, dude, now we got people with last names Culkin.
What do you think that guy's doing?
He's a fucking caulker. He was a caulker.
Yeah.
Hey, what's Macaulay doing? He's caulking.
He's caulking.
Yeah.
Hey, don't go in his room. He's caulking.
It's got a silent L. What, a silent A? Oh, okay. There we go.
I think I have mispronounced Macaulay Culkin's name more than any other celebrity in my life, because I spent so much time as a kid calling him Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah. Is that not it?
I believe it's Culkin.
It's a U. Yeah.
I thought it was a C-A-U.
No, it's just the Culk.
Yeah, it's C-U-L.
I think it's weird that his first...
Incredible Culk.
Yeah.
It took me embarrassingly long to realize...
His brother Kieran goaded.
That, like, it was first name Macaulay and last name Culkin, because I only ever heard Macaulay Culkin. I was like, that's his first name, right?
Yeah.
But I never, like, consciously thought that.
Yeah.
And it's then so I saw weird, it too, because, like, Macaulay sounds like a last name.
Yeah.
Oh, it does.
It's
James,
a very last name.
James P. Macaulay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Of the fighting Macaulays.
Yeah.
The famous Illinois Macaulays.
Mm.
Yeah.
I need to meet somebody whose first name is, like, Peterson or something, and then their last name is just Ted.
Middle name, comma.
Yes.
Bring it back to the intro.
Yes. Hey, before we do anything else, let's open this bell, baby.
Oh my god, I'm not ready at all.
Aw, shit. Go!
That is an enormous Red Bull.
That is dinosauric.
I'm not gonna lie, I meant to grab
this can
the
is overwhelmingly
ounce.
Large.
I'm not gonna lie, I meant to grab the 16-ounce and did not realize that until just now, because I saw these two.
I'm seeing the top of the label here. You got an extra 4 ounces than what you were aiming for.
That's an extra 25%.
It's because the Red Bull fucking cans are goddamn skinny, so fuck up which size I grab every time. So yeah.
Wrestler.
And I should have just read it.
Wrestler on Twitter that I follow, Chris Brooks, lives in Japan now. And he just posted Red Bull bottles with screw tops.
Like a plastic bottle?
No.
A glass?
No.
What?
Aluminum?
Yes.
Get
aluminum, like weird-shaped bottle.
Not like that.
Also
but
showing...
Like one of those Coors ones?
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah. Like one of those big mouth fucking...
But not the big mouth. Traditional.
What is this? Man, I don't even fucking like Red Bull, and this sounds fucking terrible.
It looks based, and...
I was on the opposite. Yeah, I was opposite of Tom. I thought it sounded awesome, so...
Yeah,
I'm confused and frightened. Also, when we were going through the materials for this, I stumbled on one and was about to say cardboard, and then you swooped in with aluminum, and in my mind, I instantly went, ah, fuck.
Oh, shit.
You're Have you ever had boxed water?
I've had boxed wine. It's
the thing that Dakota...
Boxed water.
Boxed water.
For. Yeah.
I mean...
No. I can't find it, which leads me to believe that perhaps I did invent this.
Wait. Oh, wait. You can't just... What?
Where the hell... Man.
You know what did exist for real, though? And came in a plastic bottle. You know Sobe, right?
Yeah.
Fucking juice drink with the lizard on it that sucks.
Yeah.
They made a really good soda at one point that tasted like, it was kind of like a Pib flavor, but more better.
More better.
It was more better. Okay. Yes.
More better?
Yeah, yeah. It was a more robust.
What was it called?
It was like, I can't remember. I keep wanting to say it was Doctor something, but it wasn't. That's Pepper. Fuck. What was the fucking Sobe soda called? I just remember calling it Sobe soda. Oh shit, here we go. Pictures of Red Bull aluminum screw top. Wow.
Yeah.
Shit. It's like the shape of a typical glass bottle, but it's aluminum.
Yeah.
Aluminium, if you will.
Aluminium.
There's a car reviewer I watch on YouTube, and she pronounces it aluminium, and it. Every time there's something about where I'm just like, no, it's not right. Say it again.
Say it again.
Say it, Frenchie.
How would you feel about the way that she pronounces color? It's not collar.
No, it sure isn't.
I have two sodas that you reminded me of that I haven't had in a while because they're probably most likely definitely are discontinued.
What's that?
Number one, I'm going to start with one that as someone who fucking hates Pepsi, I can tell you definitively, it is a very different flavor.
Okay.
Crystal Pepsi.
Wow, okay.
It's when not
they
just
make
fucking...
Crystal Pepsi?
They brought it back a while back a couple just times. For like, yeah.
And it's real good. It's a real good soda.
Is it?
Yeah. It is definitively different.
I don't
it's not
like
just
Pepsi.
Clear cola. I fucking hate Pepsi, dude.
And I think Pepsi is for racists.
You hear that, Phil?
Yeah. I said what I said.
I prefer Coke to Pepsi 100 trillion fucking times
over. Right. Yeah. RC
is Pepsi
superior
okay?
to Bud.
I hope
yeah.
not.
Huh? That's good stuff.
RC is superior to both.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's so hard to fucking find. No, the Crystal Pepsi thing, I do remember how every so often they would bring it back. But the whole marketing campaign, like especially the first time they brought it back, was like they did it ironically. To be like, remember the invisible cola wars of the early 90s? It's back and no one else is playing. Like,
yeah. It was when everyone was doing nostalgia shit just to do nostalgia shit.
Yeah. Wait, when?
Always.
I was going to say, like, they still do that.
It's a revolving door of nostalgia. Because now when they bring Crystal Pepsi back in 2026, somebody would be like, oh man, back in 2006, that was the shit.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I'm just going to be slowly withering away in a fucking box somewhere, screaming, it was 91, you dickheads.
Old. Old. It's the beach that makes you old.
Oh, man, that fucking movie. What was the other one?
Dewshine. Mountain Dew, Dewshine.
Good shit.
Quite possibly the best thing that I've ever had.
You mix that with vodka, dude, and it is the most unbelievable elixir you've ever had in your entire life.
I have never heard
of this product until this moment.
I loved Dewshine.
When you said it the first time, I almost responded with, the fuck did you call me? Like,
it was just a clear Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
With real cane sugar and, like, something else.
Non-alcoholic, but it came in glass bottles, and man...
Dude, that sounds awesome.
It was really good.
It was just perfect.
I'm not...
Down to every last minute detail.
So, I'm not a big Mountain Dew guy. I feel
it's the
like...
the most passionate I've ever heard you about maybe anything.
Longfellow couldn't have said it any better.
I just quoted Homelander. I almost said Peacemaker. Oh. That's my fucking undercard. But we'll get there.
Not a big Mountain Dew guy. Never was. I feel like I grew up in an area where everyone was just mainlining Mountain Dew morning, noon, and night. And I was like,
Mountain Dew's, growing up for me, Mountain Dew was like, that's pretty good. And then I would go into a phase where I'm like, this is the fucking best. And
this
then
is
I would,
the greatest
and
thing
then
ever.
I would very quickly get out of that and be like, this is pretty good. It's always an option. I never really got sick of it.
There's been a few times though where I've had a Mountain Dew in just the right situation, and it hits the spot, and I'm like, okay,
yeah, this is that's what I'm saying. Like, and then
this is why they invented this,
right? Yeah. I feel like the ones for me, I'm usually at some sort of a cookout.
Yep,
and
it is an awesome like barbecue.
I was gonna say I'm having a burger that was made by a man, in front of me,
by the grill master.
That's right,
at the duvet.
Cramblin'
Duvet
fucking family reunion. I've been watching some Detroiters too.
Yes, let's get into this undercard.
Undercard, yeah.
Lead on.
Wait, you reminded me of another soda.
Oh shit,
we were talking about Mountain Dew. Sorry,
I love soda. I just wanted to
bring this up. My personal favorite Baja, and I know that I'm going to catch flack. Pineapple coconut, dude. It's Baja Flash. It's better than Baja Blast.
You're high.
I am.
Yes.
Baja Flash.
Either of these.
Fucking ruled, dude.
Pineapple Coke, you're not.
You ever hear that theory about how every time Mountain Dew comes out with a new flavor, within a few weeks or like 2 months after, something horrible happens?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They caused it.
Yeah, there was one that was, like, right before 9/11, one that was right before blah, 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 whatever. Like, it's... Yeah. Mountain Dew. An evil corporation. Yeah. Anyways, a dew shine is what a dew does at the beginning of his match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's good. That's good.
Undercard.
So, yeah, Brent, what do you see?
Just like James Gunn writing real-world conflicts into his projects and claiming the script was written before that stuff happened. We're back. And I've been watching Peacemaker Season 2.
Hell yeah.
And it's incredible. I've not seen Season 1. I don't watch shows. Jake was streaming his screen one night, and it was Episode 1 of Peacemaker. I was like, fuck yeah, I'll watch this. It ended up being really, really awesome and funny.
Yeah.
And then, like, 3 weeks later, he happens to be streaming, and he streams episode 2 through 4. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I think we gotta continue this. And he was like, episode 5 comes out next week. And I was like, oh shit, it's still coming out.
Yeah.
This is awesome. So then, episode 5 happens, episode 6 happens, and that right there, that episode, is what made me completely obsessed, deep diving into this.
Good.
I was like, it was good up until then.
Yeah.
But it's like, holy fuck now.
So I'm only 2 episodes in. I've been watching other stuff. I just got to get caught up on it. Maybe I'll get into it this weekend. But I love the first season.
You got to watch that first season.
Yeah.
Hot damn, man. Because like, I think I've talked about it on here. I really enjoyed, I got to be clear, the Suicide Squad. And like, Cena's great in it. And that was kind of my introduction to that character. Because I don't know. So then I thought, oh, he's getting his own show. That's... To me, it seemed like an odd choice based solely on the movie. First season, to me, knocked it out of the park. I was like, this is tremendous. Like, you made me care about a character that I didn't really even know about.
Yeah. That is James Gunn's bag.
Yeah. He is Guardians of the Galaxy. I went into that being like, this is a Marvel thing that I don't know about, and it's one of them's a fucking raccoon. Came out of all three of those movies just being like, that was good shit.
The gun never jams.
Ooh.
That's real good.
Jam that jam.
I am very... James Gunn fanboy.
Mm-hmm. See, I wasn't really before. I was like, Guardians of the Galaxy rules. James Gunn, he's good stuff. But like, that's about it. Now I'm like, he's a fucking genius.
I started watching Creature Commandos.
I fucking love that show, man.
So good.
That's
dude.
It's 20-minute episodes, so like it's an easy watch for like just to like chill for a little bit. Or I mean, you could probably, if you binge the whole thing, it's probably shorter than most superhero movies, actually.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good.
It's fun, it's sexy, it's funny, it's violent.
Like,
it's just... It's animated really well. Like, I love the animation
style. I love the style. Yeah, I saw, like...
It's... Yeah. It has that feeling of just, like, a good superhero cartoon. It just happens to be about some particularly heinous stuff sometimes. Mm.
And again, the whole, like, you're taking characters that you don't know any fucking thing about. Several of them, I'm sure, were just created for the cartoon, even though I know the cartoon's based on a comic series. But I'm like, going into it, I was like, I don't know anything about any of these fucking people. And, man, just within a few episodes, I'm like, I feel like I know all these characters. Yep. I care about what they do. Like, and he still tied that into it's all canon because they referenced the Suicide Squad, and I'm pretty sure they referenced Peacemaker in Creature Commandos. Because
Economos is in Creature Commandos,
right? Like,
yeah, Amanda Waller talks about getting found out by her daughter.
Yeah.
From season one of Peacemaker in Creature Commandos. Like, it's all in the Gunverse, baby.
Like, it's wild to me. Gunverse. Like, Marvel's had, like, such a stranglehold on this genre for since 2008, basically.
Yeah, you gotta see the latest Marvel. It's nuts.
It's nuts. Mm-hmm. I'm like, James Gunn might be the guy that actually makes DC...
He's kind of doing a fucking Russo thing. Like,
it's almost a, it's like a reboot, but it's not
what
a reboot.
What Russo are you talking
Vince?
About?
Vince?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
How is this a Vince Russo thing?
Okay, so he was a writer for Machine, the dominant machine Marvel.
Right.
He did some real good work for him. And then he jumped the ship.
Yeah.
To the failing brand.
Yeah.
As kind of their, like, savior that put a lot on him, and then and now they're getting beat.
Let's hope it's a little longer than 83 weeks.
Yeah.
83 years.
No, fuck.
Okay.
83 movies.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord. All right, no.
That's only 10 years from now, dude. James Gunn is working on 4 projects at a time.
Oh, yeah. By then, we'll be up to, like, Avatar 6.
General's still alive.
God damn it!
And the element will be steel this
time. Hugh Jackman comes back, and it's about Na'vi watching humans fight to learn their style.
Yes, real steel. Yes, real steel finds its way to the Na'vi, and they decide to create their own battle bots.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the Avatar zombie movie.
Ooh. That's probably actually. Maybe.
Don't. Posit that would be a good idea. We already have to waste time with 3 more of these.
Oh, yeah. It's not good.
Yeah, the 7th one is going to be zombies because the general, who is still alive, engineered a bioweapon and released it on Pandora.
Is this anything?
James Cameron, will you give me, like, $1 million fucking dollars, please?
How about this? We make the 6th one without the general because he does get killed in the 5th one. But he comes back as a zombie in the 7th one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm talking
This
about.
Writer's room just broke Avatar 6, guys.
That's already a better storyline.
Than whatever the fuck it's going to be, yeah. There'll be some sort of big fish person or something. I don't fucking know.
Fishman.
Yeah.
No, we already did The Way of Water, man. It's...
The next one is like air fire. And fire. No, yeah, fire. Yeah, fire. Yeah, yeah.
Dude, they don't even look... cool. Like, the Fire Na'vi don't even look cooler.
I've seen both of these movies. I've seen the first one a handful of times. I can't tell you a character's name. We keep calling him the General. We know who that is. I have no fucking clue who his name is.
I just know Jake.
Jake, is the main guy.
Jake Sully.
Yeah.
Wait, is it Jake Sully?
I think it is.
Right, yeah.
Holy shit, how did I remember that?
I don't know, but I'm kind of impressed and worried. But yeah,
that's the holes in my brain. Sometimes things just slip through and out.
But I think I only know that person, that character's name, because the other people are saying it.
Yes, I only know it because the big blue woman says, Jake Sully, no!
Right. That's exactly what she sounds like.
I'm pretty sure.
She has every...
She has the exact Jamaican
accent. That's right.
...of snow. Informa. I make you boom boom down.
Have you seen anything?
So I went to go soar a little film called Paul Thomas Anderson's One Battle After Another.
Yep.
And guys, 2025 might be the year that movies came back. I have to be real with you.
It's been a good year.
It's been a really goddamn good year. Between this, Weapons, and Sinners, getting to see all 3 of those in theaters... And then, like, Superman as well.
I just rewatched that the other day.
Really good shit.
It's also good. Like, so this movie, man, is... It's genuinely its own thing, which is always a plus to me. I mean, it's adapted from a novel, but, like...
It's not based on, like, a popular IP or something. Like,
It's not something where we're just, like, animating storyboards already. Right. You know? Because that's basically what comic book movies are, is let's take these storyboards and animate them.
It's what Sin City is.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
But in the sense that you're animating them with people, I guess. But, like, dude, no, this... So, Leonardo DiCaprio plays one of my favorite characters in film recently. Ghetto Pat, Bob Ferguson. Basically, it's about these... Without going into too much spoilery detail, because I want you to see this, Brayden.
Mm.
They go into...
I would summarize it as, if we're going to keep it as basic as we can without spoiling shit, there's a daughter in the middle of this big conflict. Both people believe that they are her father. They both have their own positive and negative motivations for wanting to, I guess, I don't want to say control or have, but like, she's in danger. She is on the run from one. These two men are now in kind of a race to get to her. That's a really oversimplified what this is.
Yeah. It's family story.
Way more detail.
But it's also, like, about revolution. It's also about, like...
It's a lot of friendship type of stuff, too.
Yeah.
Because like, some of the relationships... Like, Benicio Del Toro in this is...
Is my favorite...
It's so good.
He's the... If he doesn't win Best Supporting Actor...
Yeah.
For his role in this... Mm. Like, genuinely, what is the Academy for?
Dick stroking.
That's actually true.
But this movie not only feels good to watch and, like, is good, but it does all that, like, movie dick stroking stuff in a really good way.
It's shot so fucking well.
So, like, beautifully.
It looks like, and I mean this in the best way, it looks like an old school movie.
Yes.
It looks like something that I'm
it
like...
It feels like a 70s, like, action adventure movie. With very modern philosophy.
Like, you can tell that I'm like, okay, this is a set. This is a location.
They are at a place.
There is light hitting things in the background, and that is a person. Like, like there's the back third of it to me is like, I said it reminds me of Duel, which is a very, like, old, it was like Stephen King's first movie. Stephen Spielberg. Stephen King's first movie was Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah,
and
I'm
scared
the hell out of you.
But yeah, dude, it's shot beautifully. The performances are great. The story is good. Sean Penn is back, and he's fucking tremendous in this. I was like,
this movie has everything. It's got Sean Penn's erect penis.
It's got
violence.
Violence. There is some.
It's got jokes. It's got the most accurate description of getting a troubling phone call after just smoking a lot of weed. Dude, Leo in this, he is so good. Like, it's got Benicio Del Toro saying the words "a few small beers" in the most just like...
A few small beers. He's just
arresting fashion.
I feel like Leo can't be bad.
I would agree. I think that, like, even when he was young, he was still good.
Yeah, but I feel like... what I mean specifically is, like, at this point, if he were to not try, he would be great.
Yeah.
Like, he would have to actively try to be bad, and even at that point, I don't think he could.
He's one of the best actors of all time, definitely of this generation.
I think he'll go down as, like, the evolved version of, like, Jack Nicholson.
I would agree, yeah.
Like, I think he's going to start really leaning into more...
Have you ever seen The Revenant?
No.
I love it. I think that movie's great. That's the one he finally won his Oscar for. It's really good. It's hard for me to recommend to a lot of people because it is long, it's kind of slow,
yeah,
and it's a lot of, like...
Seems like it's quiet until it's not.
Exactly. Like, it's... The cinematography in it is amazing. The fight scenes are great. Tom Hardy is fucking awesome in it.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't know that there was any other person in it.
Oh, of note? or just
in general,
like,
yeah. I
don't know. No, it's great. And I mean, like, the bear attack scene is harrowing, to say the least, because it's shot very well, and the effects are good.
Yeah.
But man, oh man, Leo's performance of being mauled by a bear is almost too realistic, even for me, where I'm like, this feels like I'm watching, like, found footage.
Yeah.
At times.
Snuff film. Gotta get...
More like snuff of this film.
That's enough.
Yeah, no, I second everything he said and more. I saw it on Saturday night. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes, and it didn't bother me at all.
Let's give it two thumbs up.
Big time.
I give it 5 popcorns. I give it... You gotta check it out. Joe Bob says, check it out.
Speaking of checking it out, let's check out the mail.
We were supposed to do this last episode, and we forgot.
Yeah.
We're assholes.
We've got a little letter here from our dear friend Bailey Bright, who's writing in about our Factions debate tournament, and he says, "Hello, friends. Factions tournament episode has been a lot of fun. I did get several people, by the way, messaging me that said they really like that format.
It's a really good format.
DB said that it's one of his favorite episodes.
When we have our special guest
here
this weekend,
Sit Down Marks podcast, by the way,
we could do a 4-way tournament episode." Because we, I mean, what? There's limitless topics we do. He says, "I would like to weigh in on one topic, and it may surprise you at first. I agree with not putting D-Generation X in the bracket, but for different reasons. My argument for not putting them in a factions tournament is that at their peak, they weren't a faction, but rather a tag team comprised of Shawn Michaels and Triple H, both in the 90s and in 2006. As for the 90s first, I think it's because we'll agree for the most part, DX started with Shawn and Trips. Polarizing, fresh, edgy duo we all know and love, China, Rick Rude serving as managers. According to your own tournament rules, this makes that version of DX, by definition, a tag team."
Yeah.
"You are correct, sir. Now I know for a fact," he then writes this. "Now I know for a fact that we disagree about 06 DX, but I feel very strongly that you unfairly lump it in with 09 DX. That run was that long?"
It was a separate thing. I think they went away from it for a second.
Oh, okay. Holy shit. I was like, there's no way.
So basically the last however many, 5 years of Shawn's career or whatever?
Yeah.
Basically was just DX, DX goes away, Undertaker, DX reforms, Undertaker, Undertaker. That was kind of just it.
Yeah. Listen, I ain't got long left. I'm going to work with who I want to work with.
Jesus, that was... All right.
Where did that come from?
That was good stuff. You even did the eye. remember how he says, "But they still had some of their greatest matches. Hell in a Cell against the McMahons and Big Show." That actually is a pretty
fun... That is fun.
That is good.
It's where I think I learned to love the screwdriver spot as a kid, because they use a fucking screwdriver in that match.
Yeah.
Like...
E.
Blah, 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 the entire rated RKO feud. It got a Shawn versus Vince at Mania, which is also very good. Plus, their segments were still edgy, new fun twist of Shawn having found God that I think only added a layer of humor. But impersonating the McMahons,
fucking
hacking the production truck, dropping shit on the Spirit Squad, all of these are such iconic moments that I think of much more than their 90s segments. Maybe only because the statement they made to the USA Network about swearing references to genitalia, in which they only swear in reference to genitalia. That kind of content didn't go away in their 06 run, and that's where I think there's a lack of a very necessary differentiation on your ends. It wasn't until their 09 reunion the product had already become for children.
Hey, yo. We're talking about factions.
He then says, "I understand, even if after reading my argument, 06DX is still not your personal favorite version, but what's important to get across is that it's not 09, and it's objectively good."
Hey, yo. We weren't talking about DX.
"Second only, in my opinion, by the 97 DX previously described. Lastly, the version of DX that can be categorized as a faction absolutely deserves its credit for their contributions to Monday Night Wars. However, I believe that their spike in popularity is credited more to the Monday Night Wars rather than a change in content or quality without Shawn. But I rest my case. Thank you for taking the time. Love y'all. Florida Man." We get it. You like DX.
Yeah, we get that.
I don't... This is going to be a hot take, and Bailey might actually jump through the microphone and fucking throw
me. Oh, shit.
I think Shawn Michaels and Triple H are better when they are separate.
Oh,
they're
yeah.
They're both better when they are not tagging and not feuding.
I agree.
Yeah.
Man, they wanted to have those matches, though. And some of them, they had. There's been two or three good Triple H Shawn Michaels matches. Maybe. And then all the other ones were just...
There's been two or three good Triple H matches.
I still disagree with you on that, even though I'm not a fan of the man. I can list several good Triple H matches. SummerSlam 02, the comeback match with Shawn.
Okay.
WrestleMania
27, the fucking No Holds Barred match. 28, the fucking End of an Era match. The street fight with Cactus Jack, the Rumble.
Mm-hmm. Did you say Mania 30 opener?
Yeah, fuck, there's another one. That match with him and Danielson kicks ass, and you know it.
It's okay.
Tiger Suplex.
You said it's one of the best Mania openers of all time, you ass.
It's okay, yeah. It's one of the best WrestleMania openers of all time.
Okay.
I don't give a fuck about that.
I hate that you do this thing where you goad me into making a point that I don't even, really care about.
Smile for me, dude.
I don't even like Triple H, and you conned me into defending him.
Because you're a racist piece of shit, you know that?
You can't just say that!
You're defending a Nazi sympathizer.
Triple K over here.
Yeah. G.I. Wow. Robot wants to kill these Nazis.
You want to kill robots or kill Nazis with me?
So let's talk about today's program. So Tom said pick something, and I said give me a year, and he said 2009. So I went into the YouTube, and
I thought I took it from you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta pay the tax.
Okay.
You gotta pay the troll toll.
You gotta pay the troll toll. Will you pay this troll's toll?
To get into this boy's soul.
Boy's hole?
Soul.
God. 2009
TNA Impact. Cross the line. This is TNA to me.
January 22nd.
This is Brian and Vinny to me.
'09. I came so close to saying 2010, not knowing what he was going to pick, and then I'm glad I didn't, because I was like, we can't go back to 2010 TNA yet. We will.
I need some time before I
need to watch something good. Again. Yeah.
So, you didn't choose correctly then.
Spoiler alert, guys, I actually kind of liked this episode.
I realized pretty early on that I wasn't watching any TNA at this point in my life. Because I know I had said on the show before I had never seen the Main Event Mafia. But guess what? I'm about to see the Main Event Mafia in several segments of the program. Everybody doing what everybody doing.
Everybody doing the same thing. I be doing what I be doing. I be doing my thing. I wrote it down. I had to.
I had to make a note of it, though. This aesthetic for TNA is so fucking perfect.
Great, man.
I fucking love the Impact Zone, the tunnels, the six-sided ring,
the lasers, fucking pyro.
I didn't care that it was the same place every fucking time.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Because the place was cool.
Yeah.
Bro.
What if we got
rid
of all
of
that?
Wrestling show takes place in a zone.
Yeah, exactly. The Impact Zone is such a fucking cool name for your, headquarters.
I don't know. The branding of it, to me, it's on point. Right fucking there.
Anything Zone has a fucking chance to be badass, but
yeah.
Impact Zone specifically
mm-hmm.
is money. Beer money, to be in fact.
Oh, yeah, shit, stay tuned.
We're in the era here. We're in Main Event Mafia time. Because that's what kicks off, right?
No, there's a... I wrote down, there's a bizarrely uneven card on the show, but our opening match is actually Sanjay Dutt with SoCal Val versus Sheik Abdul-Bashir with a more appropriate entrance theme this time around versus Chris Sabin versus X Division champion Alex Shelley.
They said this opening contest here in HD, I was pissed off because this is 360 and it does not give you the option to go
That was just the YouTube Rip. They were in HD at this point.
Yeah, I know. But if they were in HD, upload it in HD.
Well, I'm going to admit to something here. We didn't exactly watch this through the official...
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
My first note here. I hate tag teams and scrambles. Little did I know that I was being worked by the expert booking team of Total Nonstop Action Wrestling.
Yeah, you're getting worked, bro. This is the worst Machine Guns theme.
Yeah, it's not...
There's a thing at the beginning of this match that made me so angry as a worker on a couple of different levels. We do the bit where it's a four-way, and it's every man for himself, and it's for the championship. And instantly, the two heels decide we don't want to win, so they just get out of the ring.
Wait, now, I'm willing to go with the get out of the ring because we're heels.
Right.
Go on, because I think I know where you're going.
Leaving the two tag team partners in the ring to fight each other, okay? All right, I can go with you on this. I understand. Except they then have the least damaging professional wrestling display possible. If it's two characters like Stone Cold Steve Austin and Gunther, and we leave them in the ring, that makes more sense to me because I'm like, they're going to beat the piss out of each other, and then I'll slide in as this dastardly heel and take advantage. Mm. The Machine Guns just have a very nice, polite chain wrestling exchange because that's who they are as characters. And they're a fucking tag team.
Yeah.
So what was the Eagles' plan to just watch them really do some pretty fancy great stuff?
Yeah, I was going to say, like,
I'm not trying to downplay the actual in-ring work.
Sanjay
Sanjay
said, no, listen, here's my kayfabe explanation for this. Sanjay was like, ayo. Listen, the boys don't get to work each other like this very often. Just let them cook. Just let them cook. And then Sheikh Abdul Bashir was like, hell yeah. And so they got out of the ring, and then they watched it, and then they got jealous of their skills. So that's why they came back in and jumped them.
God damn it.
So what was your
thing about it? I have a different, slightly different thing about that. So... there's layers to this idiocy. Let's say that the heel's plan is perfectly fine, and he's going to watch them wrestle until they can get their opportunity.
Sure.
Why would the Machine Guns go along with that?
Right.
They're a team. Dive onto them. Like,
go out and fight them.
Be like, no, wrestle us. And then you can fucking have your one-on-one later, and do maybe moves against each other or something.
Right.
But they're just like, yeah, I guess we'll fucking roll around for a second.
We'll like, both try to win.
It made everyone look dumb.
It's like, we'll both try to win, but we're not going to hurt each other in the process.
Yeah.
Damn it, I did it again.
Well, it's because, like, that's kind of the match that they had at Genesis, or whatever the pay-per-view was. They ended up having to wrestle each other.
But that makes sense.
When Shelley wins the belt.
I feel like one-on-one, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of just...
But, like, you have two other opponents that you know are not just going to fucking watch each other the whole time.
I'll tell you this right now. I would never stop laughing if somebody did a triple threat match and the heel just did that thing where they powder at the beginning like these guys did, and while he has his back turned to the crowd and is talking shit, the finish just happens behind him.
Yeah.
I would...
Shelley started with that, like, mousetrap pin.
Yep.
And... that was just, it.
And then the heel was like, no, start it over again. Like,
no, you lose, dude. You lost. What, honestly, if I was going to do this in a match of mine, the way I would do it is I would be doing bits on the outside the entire time. Mm. And, like, increasingly make it seem like I'm going to get in to do something as that match is happening. Right. And I just don't. And then the one time I'm, like, actually... supposed to get in there to do something, I don't, and the match just ends while I'm on the outside doing bits.
I did love the finish of this. I thought the finish to this was very good. And the match ended up being good. Like, Machine Guns and Sanjay were, like, married to each other for, like, years.
Yeah. Starting off with the obligatory, this match is going to be good, X Division match. I love it. I think it's a TNA staple.
Yeah.
It's a TNA highlight.
It's smart.
I feel like Daivari and Shane Sewell took away from this match. I just wanted them to go crazy. And I'm just like, oh, the heels are working together. The X Division's better than that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you on all that. They did a great job of making the finish make sense, though, without the partners ever really coming to blows, and I thought that was good.
Yeah. I like that the Motor City Machine Guns are just cool with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're boys, you know?
My feed then... Or I'm sorry, but there's a...
This audio. Yeah.
the audio to this, at several points, I started thinking that my soundbar was fucked up or something, but no, it wasn't.
The audio got scrubbed for copyright.
I see.
Yeah, it sounded like you were just out of range of the radio station.
Yeah.
There's a Machine Guns video package on loop for a bit. Then there's this really strange promo in the back with... I had to write down just the list of people here, because it's like, why are all these people in the same room at the same time? Booker and Charmel, get it. Understand that part. Yep. Jeremy Borash.
JB Jeremy Borash.
Sean Sewell. Is it
Shane Sewell?
Shane Sewell.
Because at one point, I swore to God they said Sane Sewell.
Shane Sewell.
What is his name?
Shane
Sewell. We have only ever said Shane Sewell. He is hearing different things somehow.
Yeah.
Okay.
The worst part about this fucking promo to me was this. Why the fuck is Booker T drinking so goddamn loud?
Because it's about respect.
This was... I don't know. I thought this was, like... it was a good little promo.
Yeah, but it was just...
There.
Yeah.
The idea of, like, the main event mafia is going to bring in their own referee. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here like, oh, no. This has NWO written all the fuck over it. And then I had this, like, weird mental rabbit hole of how much TNA loves heel factions on top.
Yeah.
One will end. 2 months will go by. They will start another one.
Bro, I'm a sucker for a heel faction on top.
I
Aces and Eights, give me that.
I'm not saying that it doesn't work. I'm just saying, like, man, I feel like TNA has... almost from
never really strayed from that
idea.
They've got like a 2-year business model, and then they're just like, scrub it, start it again.
Well, Jesus Christ, I'm about to fucking
mute your phone.
Leave.
So now do we get the Mafia promo?
Hang on real quick. There was... Oh, there's a Kurt Angle promo, and I think, and then Cornette, they're in the ring.
Yeah.
So it's Angle goes out first, but he's with Steiner.
And Sting.
And Sting, right, because Booker is in the back drinking loudly and preparing for a tag match or something. I thought this promo was good, and then Cornette just showed up.
Yeah, he's just there.
And they announced that it's AJ and Angle tonight, and I wrote down, they're doing it again?
Tables match.
Wow! I know what it was that I wrote down about they're doing it again, because part of this promo, it's about how they're supposed to have these two separate singles matches at the pay-per-view. Okay, it's going to be like...
This is when they're out in the ring?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's like, it was supposed to be Sting versus D-Von and Angle versus Bubbier.
Yeah.
And then Cornette comes out to just say, we're going to make it a four-way for the world title. And as we saw earlier in the evening, when you've got a team and a four-way, and I'm like...
He explains the meta.
Right. And then at that point, I was like, okay, I retract my previous statement of I don't like tag teams being in four-ways. But you'd use the entire X Division as a fucking...
As a way to get a point across.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, I get it, but at the same time, like... Can't you just let us, the audience, figure this out?
Yeah.
That there's two teams in the four-way match?
Which that did pop me, because I was like, oh, it's going to be a tag match play. Right. I literally wrote down, it's going to be a tag match playa, and no, it wasn't. And I was like, this is a cool, unique little thing. Angle literally says, the dust has settled and the smoke clears at one point in this promo, and I was like, wow.
He loves a cliche. Then, like, Sting is basically... So Sting is in the main event mafia.
Yeah.
But not really.
It seems like he is and just doesn't care.
He just doesn't want to be in the main event mafia, basically.
Right.
Well, he doesn't have the face paint, so it's technically just Steve Borden.
Steve Borden is in the main event mafia. Sunglasses. Always.
The fact that they had, like... I know we've talked about TNA fucking up a lot on this show... But the fact that they had this level of roster.
Yep.
And that they could afford to put them all together.
Yeah!
Like...
Holy shit, dude!
Instead of just, oh, we'll get fucking feuds with WCW, WWF nostalgia out of these guys for the next 4 fucking years.
Yeah. Like, your heel main event faction is Kurt Angle, Booker T... Kevin Nash, Sting, and Scott Steiner.
Yeah.
That was a good sneak there at the end. So, 2 things. Number one, it's weird when the Impact Zone actually reacts to what people say, because usually it's the video game ambience while people talk at the audience.
Right.
And then, what the hell? Sting says it's going to be a 4-way for the fucking championship. And then I wrote down, why doesn't Sting have the belt?
Did he not have it out there?
I didn't see it. If it was under the jacket, that's stupid. But I didn't know who the world champion was until he said the 4-way was for the belt. I saw it later, over his shoulder. Not in this segment.
He forgot it.
Oh yeah, that thing. Then I just wrote down, I love when wrestling is just dumb. I don't know what was next. I don't know what was on the show.
PD Steiner.
Oh, that's right. There was a decent little promo from PD. I thought like it was
PD Williams dressed like the man who beat the shit out of him.
Why was he still doing this?
Yeah, why was he?
He had to upkeep this look. Like,
hey, he's like, it's a good gimmick.
It's not anymore. Like,
it's a good gimmick. I still got all these little PD Pump shirts.
Oh, dude. Maple Leaf Muscle.
Yeah, the definition of definition, dude.
Yeah, that's good shit. I love PD Williams. It was just weird to see him actually cut a promo.
The Canadian goddamn destroyer, dude.
The
dick flap on trunks.
Hog cover.
That sounds like an insult.
Fucking Rod Awning.
Rod Awning should have been my wrestling name.
Yeah.
Hot Rod Awning.
Yes, dude, that's awesome.
Fuck, man. But like, Rod is in quotes.
Yeah.
Wait, so it's hot awning.
Rod Awning.
Hot Awning here.
My friends call me Rod.
You can call me Rod.
Dude, the greatest part about this show is the production value, especially on this very live from Japan Team 3D promo that is definitely not shot in a fucking room somewhere else in the building that everyone else is in. Like, they're so in Japan.
They're totally in Japan, dude. The feed totally cuts out at the end.
Yeah.
Like, they totally are having technical difficulties.
I actually really liked the feed cutting out at the end because it's a really nice little, oh, what did Bubba say? Who does he think is going to win? Is there tension that we don't know about? Boo boo. You know?
I had to write it down, especially here at this time period. Bubba ain't a bad promo. I've just grown weary of seeing him still do shit even in 2025.
It's weird how that happens.
Cause like now I'm like, I don't ever. We fought and bled for ECW. Shut the fuck up. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like,
why in the mother of fuck is Bubba more mad at Sting for not beating him up?
Yeah, what?
Because you sat by and did nothing, I'm more pissed at you. Why?
Right.
Beat you up.
If only you had beaten me more.
And I know that he's trying to make a point about, like, you know, I'm
you're
more
a coward
hurt.
Or something.
Yeah, I'm more hurt that you were such a coward. But it literally does sound like I'm pissed off that you didn't also join in kicking my ass.
How dare you leave me to just only be beaten by four other men?
You want to... is that where he says the line about the bull's horns in your ass or whatever?
That's a video package. That's at some video point package, on here, yeah.
Dude, there are so many fucking promos and video packages. I can't remember all of them. And I watched this today.
I watched this before leaving here. Wait.
Leaving to get here.
To get, yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
I haven't watched this yet.
I watched this in two installments. I finished it last night. And it got to a point where it was hard for me to pay attention because shit would just happen and stop and stop and stop. I was like, I can't even, like, invest in any of this because something else is going to happen too fucking soon.
Yeah, there's no good flow.
Then there's another fucking Mafia promo after the Team 3D one from Japan. Sting was pretty good here. Steiner was just doing, like, a Steiner promo, and then he straight up just runs out of gas at the end of it. And it's so funny because he's looking straight into the camera, but he's got his fucking sunglasses. Hey, take those sunglasses off. We're inside. And at the end, he just shit up, just off the fucking track, runs out of promo, and just goes, I'm going to take care of you tonight, and just walks away. But it's this weird thing where he's like, you think you can prove what you got to take with a real man? I've been the big bad pretty daddy, and I'm going to take care of you tonight, and just leaves. And I'm like, Steiner!
Scotty! God! Booker T just hitting the respect.
That's literally my only note on this promo, is just the word respect.
Respect.
Then there's another video package for Sojourner Bolt, and I was like, I remember this name. I don't remember her even being in TNA.
At one point, she says she's a real wrestler.
Yeah. As opposed to
a fake wrestler.
The rest of them are fake. She then goes on to say in the next sentence that, yes, she does have fake nails. And I went, the fuck? You can't be real and fake with it. Like,
the idea of this, what they call it, rough cut? Is that what
yeah,
the segments like were that. Called? Where it was like kind of an interview, almost shooty or whatever. This wasn't even that. This was just a straight up normal video package.
Yeah, this was.
Then they
her.
Do different types of video packages
they
later.
They had all of these different branded kind of video. Because they had the music video for Machine Guns.
Yes.
There's a Matt Morgan music video coming up. There's a rough cut with Homicide. And
there's another rough cut with James Storm.
Yes.
And I'm not positive. There might have been a third rough cut. I'm not sure that this wasn't one of those.
It might have fucking been, man.
I think that it was more of just a regular fucking promo.
Yeah, because it had her fucking, like, Titantron or whatever in it.
She was interviewed in the video package, but I don't think it was, like, the same.
Right.
It was a different backdrop.
Yeah, it wasn't, and it didn't have the
same
questions as those other goddamn ones, dude.
I actually did write it down. This was a rough cut.
Oh my god.
But it's so different from the other ones that I had forgotten that it was. I'm glad I actually wrote it.
Rough cut counter, one.
Fuck, man. Pull it down! So then we get Sojo Bolt versus ODB, and I wrote down, okay, this should be fine.
I met ODB.
You know what my only note on this match is? Why would we get a finish?
You're right, Braden. Why would we?
Oh, fuck. Woo! Well, I can't answer your question because we're not going to. I actually wrote down DQ. Kong is here.
The Kongtourage.
Kongtourage is great.
Kongtourage is a good name.
I do like that name. Not even gonna lie.
Oh, man. It goes to a DQ. Kong's here. Baby faces make the save.
Sojo Bolt, not good.
This was not great. And it was short. And, you know, yeah. this next segment.
Yes.
There's been two. This show is only 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like wrestling?
It's your 90-minute adrenaline rush.
Yeah, man. This next segment, my first thing that I wrote down in all caps just says, Lisa Ann.
I mean, wait, who's that?
I don't know. So, it's Daphne dressed as Sarah Palin.
As was the style at the time.
Correct. Cutting a promo about being dressed as Sarah Palin,
yes.
And then the beautiful people beat the ever-living shit
out of her. Dude.
This is a mugging.
For what seems... Did this seem long to you guys?
Yeah, very long.
Because it was late in the evening, and I'd had some glasses of water.
There's a lot of cursing, too.
Tons!
Dude, this Daphne promo is really good, actually.
Yeah.
Because she switches from the Sarah Palin voice back into, like, normal Daphne voice or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the beautiful people just fucking... Yeah, they mug her. Like, genuinely.
Bill Gunn has to stop a murder from happening.
Yes. Like...
Which I thought was hilarious because I looked away for 2 seconds and then I heard, like, stop or whatever. Mm-hmm. I look up and Bill Gunn suddenly there punching people.
Yeah, that shit was fucking bizarre. And I believe that start... actually, I do know this. That starts the storyline where Daphne goes crazy again and we end up introducing Dr. Stevie.
Yes.
Yes.
There might not have been a murder, but there might be two deaths because there certainly is a double burial that just comes up next.
Oh, man. My first note on this, we need to do a Booker and Steiner match from WWE so that we can complete the trifecta.
Uh-huh.
We need to see these guys interact in 3 different promotions on this podcast.
Did it ever happen in WWE?
It had to have. There's no way it didn't. So Steiner and Booker versus Petey and Eric Young, who has been around for 100 years and had 70 gimmicks.
Yes.
I didn't realize at first that this was an elimination tag match.
How could you have? They did not make any mention of it whatsoever.
So when the match starts, and Team WCW just really dominates Eric Young, I was like, okay, this is different. And there, I was like, okay, where's this hot tag at?
You don't get one.
There isn't one. Booker hits a very painful-looking scissor kick. It was the only time I've ever seen that move look like... I was like, oh, yeah, that's a finish. And he pins Eric Young. And I'm like, oh, shit, we just did something really different where Petey never gets in the ring. Maybe that's how we prolong this program between him and Steiner. No.
No.
It's an elimination match, and now he's 2-on-1. I was like...
They mentioned it somewhere, because I knew that going in. I don't know when, though. They didn't hammer it home at all.
I think if it's the right program, I kind of like the idea of just an elimination tag match. There's something about that where I'm like, okay, you could do a lot with that creatively, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then fucking...
They just beat him. And they just beat him. And then they beat up Petey Williams. And then they beat him up some more.
You know what my least favorite thing in all of wrestling is, I think, maybe?
What's that?
1-2, pull them up.
Right.
I hate it. Well, actually, I thought they did it the best possible way that you do. Can do it.
Because he does really rally.
Yeah, yes. See, that's the problem. They did it the best way you could do it, and it was fucking stupid.
Yeah. I didn't care for that. I didn't care for how long this went. Steiner and Petey ran some pretty fucking good sequences late into this, and I was like, oh shit, good. And then he hits him with the Avalanche Samoan Drop.
Oh my god, dude.
And I was like,
just gets him with it.
This is so weird that I remember this. Steiner won a match on Raw with that. He beat Jericho with just a fucking Avalanche Samoan Drop. And do I think that's a viable finish? Yeah, that's a long fucking way to go. And then he never did it again, to my knowledge. So when I saw him do it here, I was like, you bringing back an old one-time forgotten finish for no reason? No, because the beating has to continue.
The beating will commence.
I wrote down a third time. Now if PD comes back, it's an insult. And then he doesn't come back, and I'm still somehow fucking insulted.
Then it gets fucking... There's 8 stories contained into this match.
Yeah.
And it made me, like...
There is so much going on.
So, okay, they win by domination. And then the referee is mad. It's Shane Sewell is mad.
Shane
Sewell. Stop it. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Don't kick my dog wounds.
Your dog wounds. I'm going to kick you right in your holes, dude.
No.
Oh. Guys, Tom got bit by a fucking dog, and he's happy about it.
Fuck that.
And he's happy about it.
So fucking Shane Sewell and Booker get into it, right?
Shane Sewell goes full tilt fucking...
He's hulking up, because, like, oh, that's what it is. Booker just for no reason bitch slaps the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Even though he had done everything that Booker had told him to do. Bitch slaps him. Shane Sewell fucking hulks up. He, like, double legs Booker. Steiner instantly gets on him. Just
kills him.
And they just beat the piss out of him, too.
I am sick of people needing to be stopped from murder on this show.
Oh, man, there's going to be so much more murder.
I know! There's a Matt Morgan video.
Hell yeah, Matt Morgan highlight, the DNA of TNA.
It's entirely in slow motion, so you cannot tell how slow and clunky he moves.
He sure is tall, though.
And you can't take that away from him.
I actually wrote down, perhaps I've become high. That's literally on the page.
A completely separate half video package about what happened between Abyss and Matt Morgan
last week.
And then Matt Morgan and Abyss come out.
So the...
For our therapy session.
This segment... Apology. I wish we were doing this from the top so I could just go, count the segments. Bring it down! Like, we're talking about his temper.
Yeah.
I can't handle dialogue this bad. And this is pro wrestling. Like, when...
Him talking about...
I know I've got a temper.
I missed out on...
Shut up!
NFL contracts. NBA contracts. No, you didn't, Matt Morgan.
No, you did not.
Other wrestling organization...
Yeah.
Contracts.
No, you didn't miss out because of your temper, sweetheart. You missed out because you're bad. Oh, you adorable
It's because all your limbs are north charged magnets.
Dude. Oh, that's okay. It's empty. I remember a while back on this podcast, Breeden, like, I wonder what the fuck was the problem with Matt Morgan, because I didn't understand, like, why he wasn't a bigger deal. Now that we've watched more of TNA and I've seen more, I get it. He fucking sucked. That's what the problem was.
I like Matt Morgan.
That's surprised
me. He's big, dude.
He sure is, and he's got a temper.
And he has the carbon footprint. I thought that was the coolest name for that the is cool ever.
Abby.
And the Hellevator.
Dude, when they're setting this shit up, it made me think of recent episode with the phrase, Kane's been betrayed again. Where I'm like, oh no, Abyss is about to be betrayed for an unprecedented 75th time. Fucking... Okay.
They lost last week, so they... face the tag team champions tonight in a first blood match.
Non-title first blood.
Sure, but the fuck sense does that make?
I don't know. In the sense of, yeah, you won, I'm going to make you bleed. Like, that doesn't track for me either. I was kind of confused. I didn't realize that this was a first blood match initially. I thought that Matt Morgan's promo line where he said, tonight let's just settle for beer money's blood. I thought he was just trying so hard to be cool. Anyways, I didn't hate this match. It's just a big walking brawl at the beginning and some decent shit towards the back end. I thought that, like, I think first blood matches are just inherently pretty fucking tough.
Yeah.
It's hard to do falsies.
It's impossible. Like,
I don't think it's impossible.
It's close to impossible. Shut the fuck up!
All I'm saying is, believable finish.
Right.
Getting chair shotted, you know.
And man, we okay.
Let's talk about some chair shots.
They have this entire match.
We're post Benoit here.
Yeah, we are. They have this entire match, and then for was there a miscue that I missed or something that triggered this, or did Matt Morgan just betray Abyss because it's the thing to do?
Oh, he just did it.
He just kind of did it.
There was absolutely zero things in the match setting this up.
And they're about to win.
Yeah.
They are in control. And Matt Morgan just says, nah, bro, and just swats Abyss in and about his fucking forehead.
Right before that, James Storm ducks a chair shot and Bobby Roode ducks a chair shot.
Right.
What if one of them didn't duck? Then
right. His plan?
Then he wins.
Right.
Does he still turn on Abyss? Because if so, fuck you harder somehow.
Sure.
Yeah.
Would that have been better? Is this anything?
Why would you take offense in a match that
that's my
you're
thing.
Just gonna turn on your partner?
He tries to win for so long until he turns... it's not like the... Oh, he's waiting to get tagged in.
Right.
Like,
he tries to win for so long, and then when they are in control, says, fuck it. All of my efforts have been for nothing.
Yeah, like, literally, what if I shot my own dick off? You know?
Sure. You know?
So Abyss gigs.
Yeah.
And then Matt Morgan hits him in the fucking face again.
Got to.
And then Abyss gigs again.
Abyss is bleeding profusely here.
So much.
He's got only a little bit showing. You just got to make sure that the...
I was going to say, just, I love Abyss mask with the gig cut out. Because it was the mask was designed like that, so he could still gig in that fucking corner of his head.
Holy fucking God. And I actually wrote down my last note on this match. All of this, and it still didn't get Matt Morgan over.
Yeah.
They tried.
They tried everything at least twice.
They sent his DNA to space.
Spice! I'm sending your DNA to the one place that hasn't been corrupted by capitalism.
My last note on this... Well, there's actually two. What?
Nothing.
Say it.
Spice! Okay, I'm sorry.
So... The tag team champions are the back are the on the back burner to
right.
this story here
Correct.
Between Abyss and Matt Morgan.
Yeah.
Tanae literally says the tag team champions they won.
Yeah.
Because of the fucking yeah. Tag team champions are victorious, but the bigger story here.
Oh man. I hate when wrestling does that.
And then I'm like, Matt Morgan is going to have to be stopped for murder, huh? I fucking hate beatdowns.
Well, this is the wrong place for you to fucking
yeah,
be,
welcome,
dude.
Welcome to the beatdown zone. Dude.
I actually hate beatdowns now.
Beatdown City Jones over here. Fucking...
Mike Tenay is so good, though.
There's a bit with Abyss backstage. Oh, I'm sorry. Now we get our James Storm web extra.
Yeah.
That's just him...
Yeah,
I guess filling out a survey about himself.
I listen
like,
to everything.
Oh, my favorite food. I don't care! This is the thing.
My favorite fucking video game, man.
Motherfucker, we just watched you almost get your head taken off by someone who may or may not have had a plan.
Something about the cowboy, James Storm, saying that he listens to everything.
Yeah.
And not ever specifically saying country music.
Uh-huh.
Just like, hey man, your character at least would like...
Oh, but this isn't the character, see? This is like real, because that's what people fucking want to see. They want to see the most boring, bland versions of these outlandish, over-the-top characters.
Well, if you want that, wait until you see Homicide's interview later.
I have zero problems with it if if it was like, oh yeah, my favorite drink is probably green tea, like not beer.
Sure.
That would be hilarious. Just
anything interesting.
But it's not that. They didn't go far enough in any direction to make this interesting.
No, they didn't do anything. It was you could tell that they pulled this guy aside and said, hey, we got some questions we want to ask you, just answer them honestly.
We got 90 minutes.
And then he did, and because wrestlers don't have personality unless they're, like, actually trying.
Like, hey man, we got 90 minutes to fill, and we've only got 16 segments. We need you to do this little interview. It's barely above filling out a form at a fucking post office. Fucking... Then...
He says at one point in this, by the way, sorry, I noted a couple things. Only one thing, actually. He says at one point, I hope that my daughter can... Or daughter or son, I don't remember, I think it was daughter, can grow up in a world that's not as messed up as the one that we're living in right now. And I said, oh boy! If you only knew...
Like, you don't even know that you're in the good times right now, my guy. Like, fuck, man. Then we get a video package just documenting all these good matches that AJ and Angle have had.
Yeah.
And how much Karen has been involved. And, got it.
And Karen has been involved a little bit.
Angle thinks that AJ cost him his family. Why? I guess because he did. Then we get, dude, it's straight up, it is James Storm, Web Extra, Abyss, Big Mad promo in the back where he's just going and hitting the walls. Straight from that to AJ Angle video package.
Yeah.
Straight from that to Homicide promo.
Yeah. I was looking at my notes, I was like, there's no way the Homicide and James Storm interview thingies are that close together. They are that close together.
Are they separated by any wrestling?
What's that?
Fuck, man.
Homicide. I wanted to be a fireman or a cop, man.
Well, Homicide, why do you want to be a cop?
He wanted to freeze time and do bad guy stuff, because he's a bad guy.
Right.
What the fuck is he on about?
I need a clip of Homicide just naming video games. I need someone to clip that for me.
At one point he says Pac-Man, doesn't he?
Yeah.
In 2009! Play GTA 4, dude!
God damn it.
Then he talks about playing baseball.
Yeah.
Talking about pro baseball.
Like...
Lariat.
This is not... Kojima. So then we get our actual main event of the main event, and it's Angle versus AJ tables match. My first note on this just says, the theme music's...
Yep.
Great. The presentation for both of these guys.
Let's fucking go, baby.
Fucking great. And then I thought about it for just a moment, and I was like, these two had 1,000 matches. I feel like any time that we have covered TNA, these guys have had a match.
Yeah.
Yep.
They have had 1,000 matches, which also makes my first note equally, or even more frustrating. Ah, yes. Let us lock up so I can wrestle you through this table.
I shit you not, my first note on the match itself just says, lot of wrestling in this tables match.
Even if this wasn't a tables match, you guys know each other. I cannot believe that first try, Angle fell for the AJ.
Right.
Come on.
Stop running. Do anything.
Yeah.
Like, when they got to a certain point in this match, I appreciated how much of it was wrestling. But it really felt like they were like, okay, we got to do something fresh. We'll do tables match. Okay, well, what do you want to do with it? Just go out there and have a match, and at the end, two things with the table and be done.
Yeah.
Like,
let's feel each other out in this table match is my second note. So it's long enough for me to be frustrated twice about it.
I mean, they are doing some pretty good wrestling, though.
Yeah, that's great. That's always going to be, that's a constant.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
Like, I just wish that this wasn't a tables match. Or that they had just done more table stuff earlier in the match. They do that little bit where, like, the table's on its side and AJ, like, racks.
Yeah, I love that.
That was cool. I like that.
Kurt powders and AJ just, like, was like, get back in the ring. Angle doesn't grab a table.
No.
AJ doesn't go out and grab a table.
No.
They're just full on completely wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did have a note here because it's so weird to see short hair AJ at this point. I wrote down, every aesthetic change that AJ Styles has made in his career has been met with backlash, but has ultimately proven to be correct.
Yeah.
Because I can remember when he changed from the bikers to the long tights, me and everyone else was like, then a little bit of time goes by and it's like, nah, it's a pretty good look for you.
Yeah.
And then when he started to grow the hair out, everyone but now it's like, no, that was probably the right choice for you.
He's one of the greatest of all time.
Hands down.
Yeah. It became clear to me that they were not changing the structure of this match in any way for any reason. So when they cut to commercial break and came back, I was like, slow, arduous heat incoming.
And there it was. I was so conflicted about this because, like, the work that they're doing is good. It just doesn't fit what this match is.
No.
You know?
Smash your head onto a table. Don't set it up.
No.
Grab a chin lock.
Right. It's like we've approached what we're supposed to be doing, and now we will go away from it.
Oh, we needed a hope spot before Kurt set up that tank table. That's why.
Yes.
That's why we had the chin lock. We had to have AJ fight up and get cut off before Angle set up the table.
Yes.
Uh-huh. My next note. Yes, Angle. Try to tap him out.
Yeah. Good stuff. It's all good stuff.
I did enjoy the finish. Like the actual finish where like Angle is leaning on the table, looks like it's about to give. AJ's up top, goes for the flying whatever, misses. Angle gets to the Angle Slam the long way.
Yeah, I love it.
And that table explodes.
There's always levels to when tables break.
Yeah.
There's like the regular break.
Yep.
There's it gives you nothing and just evaporates.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the fucking it pushes back and explodes this one.
Which is the most satisfying way for a tables match to end, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It looks like there is wreckage, there is carnage.
Angle is not the heel, he is just the better wrestler. He does not cheat in any way.
Hey, Braden, you remember earlier when you said you hate beatdowns?
And how much you love them? Yeah.
Right.
You know what my next note says?
What's that?
God damn it, another fucking beatdown.
That is correct, sir.
What if every match tonight ended with a beatdown?
We're going to get
what
to
if? I think it did.
What if?
I think the only one that didn't was the opener, because it was that four-way.
Yeah.
I think every other match on this show had a beatdown. All three of them.
Yeah.
Fucking, dude, AJ has zero friends.
No.
No one tries to help.
The front line. Where the fuck is the front line?
Where is anyone? They pilmanize him.
Like, over and over and over again.
And then the show just kind of ends with Angle looking awesome.
The front line is effective as Ben McCoy.
Good stuff.
Yeah, Angle has some line about, hey, Ma, look, I made it.
Right. King of the world. He's doing the fucking Titanic thing. He's standing on the fucking middle rope.
He's standing on the commentary table.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
He also basically just says that the Main Event Mafia is going to kill TNA.
Why is that?
This is
goal?
The beginning of the end for TNA or something like that.
They hate getting paid.
Yeah, why can't they just like be like, this is... We're going to rule TNA. Why does it have to be ending?
I don't know. I think this is just something that factions in TNA do. Because didn't Aces and Eights want to destroy TNA too?
Maybe.
At least Planet Jarrett, the goal was just to keep the world title on Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
Like, I understood that.
An outside force. quote-unquote outside force.
Right.
Doing
that.
An
NWO
makes,
style.
Makes sense.
Like, yeah.
But... You're all employees.
Right.
Yeah. That's the thing.
One of you is the world champion. I did have a good time watching this, but in the sense of, like, in the true spirit of this show, what are we even doing?
Yeah. This was a lot of, like,
This was a 90-minute, 60-minute adrenaline rush.
Nothing...
Yeah, pretty much.
Nothing was bad. It was stupid.
Yes.
Like, that's all it was.
Yeah, that was just...
Yeah, it was poorly booked.
Yeah.
And there's not even anything in-ring that's worth seeking out.
No, Angle and fucking...
AJ
have had better matches.
They've had better matches in the main event of Impact.
They had a better match earlier in the month, I'm sure.
Probably. Like, ugh, god damn it. Anyways, let's wrap this one up.
Yeah.
We've got some fun shit on the horizon, though, guys. Special guest, probably bring back that tournament bracket thing for one of those, because that'll be fun as fuck.
Yes.
And, yeah, stay tuned.
I should have been on that already. What are we doing?